Welcome to Routing for Success, the show where we interview today's top logistics professionals, giving them a platform to share their stories and best practices. Today, we are talking with Chad Carpenter to give us his take on the announced Ground and Express operations mergers. Chad is uniquely qualified to speak on this topic. Not only is he one of the largest ground contractors in the P&D network today with over 220 daily routes, he also led a successful 24-year career with Express. As you'll hear, Chad is optimistic not only that merging the Ground and Express networks is the right move for FedEx Corporation, he believes it's a good thing for contractors too. In this episode, we talk about how Express functions operationally, including time commits and different volume thresholds. We also talk about how FedEx may favor the corporate-owned Express model over the ground contractor model in certain markets, but also why Chad feels like that's not the right move by and large, and more. I am pleased to present to you Mr. Chad Carpenter. Chad, welcome back onto the podcast.
Yeah, good to be back.
So the last time that we spoke, for those of you tuning in who hadn't already listened, we previously interviewed Chad. He's a FedEx contractor, one of the largest contractors, service providers in the FedEx Ground network. At the time, you had about a daily average of about 220 daily routes. What are you up to now, Chad?
We're still right around 220. It'll increase all the way up to probably around 300, 315 over the next couple of weeks up until Christmas. So should be a lot of movement between now and then.
Now, I think you had sent me a message just a week or two after we had recorded that episode, and you said that you were taking a look at two other contract opportunities. Did you end up making a move on those?
I actually just took over one in Columbia, South Carolina, that we just started. So it actually started Saturday, which was a lot went on, but it went well. And so we're trying to get that one under control moving forward. It was one that a contractor basically walked away from. So I had an opportunity there. So we'll see. It's going to be interesting.
Well, congratulations. Still growing. Yeah. So for those of you tuning in who hadn't, go back and check out the interview that we did with Chad. He walks us through his entire story, his professional background before he had ever got into FedEx. He was an entrepreneur. He was in real estate and had a 24-year career with FedEx Express before ever becoming a FedEx Ground contractor. You've been a contractor now for about 5 years, I think, if my memory serves me correctly. And, you know, we thought it'd be interesting, Chad, to have you come back on because FedEx has announced this Ground and Express kind of merger plan. And a lot of the details are still to be determined. There's some areas of the country where they have kind of wound down Express pickup and delivery operations, and they're funneling some of that volume over to Ground. The information coming in is very fragmented from the contractors who have taken some of that Express volume. It's still a super small sample. And there's a lot of, there's a lot of nervousness and concern with FedEx Ground contractors thinking, you know, is this going to be a good thing for my business? Is it going to be bad? There are some stark differences between how Ground service areas operate and how Express operates. And Chad, I think you're one of the few people who are probably qualified to speak from the perspective of a FedEx Ground contractor about how the Express operations actually work, because you were an employee there for 24 years. You had a full career on the Express side before becoming a contractor. So I wanted to bring you back on, and I'm hoping that you can teach us about how Express actually works.
Yeah, I definitely think a lot of people are nervous about the announcements that have been made. But as I said on the last podcast, I think it's going to be a very positive thing for us in every way. It operates a lot different than we do at Ground, obviously. I mean, Express, their whole entire sort at each facility lasts maybe 45 minutes to an hour and a half, depending on how big the facility is. But, you know, they don't have separate handlers that come in and do there. The couriers actually load their own trucks over there, and they unload the trucks and unload the cans. And it's basically, it's normally one belt or two that they operate. Their sort is based upon the airplane. Everything comes in at the airport, right? The trucks, they load them to cans, what they call cans. And the cans, they roll onto trucks. That's why you'll see in some of these new FedEx buildings that they're putting out there in the ground facilities, rollers, a bunch of rollers. Because when those cans come in, they come in on an 18-wheeler truck, and they basically roll those cans off of the truck onto a ramp. And that ramp pushes over to the belt, and where they unload the packages to the belt, it goes down the trucks. The couriers, you know, they whatever route they're running, they pick the packages off and put them where they go on the truck. You know, they offer a number of services over there that we don't offer. That I think that's what a lot of people are concerned about. You know, the first service they offer is what they call first overnight, which is an 8 or 8:30 commit, depending on what part of the country you're in. And then if you're very rural, it's normally it could be 10 or 12 o'clock commit on that early AM service that they offer. And they don't do an extreme amount of those at all. It's but the ones they do offer, those drivers, most of them go straight to the airport and they do a mini sort over there where those first overnight packages come down. And each terminal takes those packages and leaves from the airport and goes directly to deliver them. Where, I mean, it may be 7 or 8 stops total. And you might, those FO drivers may only do 2 or 3 stops. Whether or not that's something that we take on that service, I don't know if we will, if they'll leave that with Express. You know, I do think we could handle it. It may be a situation where, you know, the AO may go do that. I mean, you're basically done at 8 o'clock in the morning. But then their next service obviously is the priority service, which is 10:30, a 10:30 commit. And that is for businesses. And most of those businesses are hospitals, lawyers, you know, mills, things like that, that 90% we're already going to, or we are right beside them. So I don't see that being an issue at all. Like I said, we're already going there. We're probably there by their time commit anyway. And then their residential P1 is 12 o'clock. And they're not a tremendous amount of those either. But, you know, with the amount of routes that we run, I just don't think it's going to be a big deal at all to service those 12 o'clocks. And then a majority of their freight is, you know, standard or economy service. The standard businesses is by 4 o'clock, which most of our routes are done by 4 o'clock anyway. And then their residential is by 8 o'clock. So none of that will really affect us. Like I said before on the express operation, they do on-call pickups, which differs from us. And what that means is anytime throughout the day, if you know, Routing for Success wants to schedule a pickup, they can call and say, hey, I want somebody here, and they give you a 1-hour window from 3 to 4. So you have to make that commit time, whatever that is. But there again, you know, that's instantaneously. The CPC dispatch will be, you know, they'll send that to, they know what area your routes are in. So, you know, whoever's delivering your area, they'll send it to them, and bam, they just bust over and pick that up in that window. I really don't see that being too much of a concern because we have so many routes out there in the area. And then, of course, they have regular pickups as well, but I would say 90% of those we're probably already going to anyway, picking stuff. Most of our guys, when they go in places, they have a pallet for Ground, and they have, you know, a cart or pallet for Express. So now we'll just pick them both up instead of some. So I don't see the whole operation being anything other than a positive for us. I mean, if you think about the amount of money that FedEx will save by eliminating that whole division, trucks, workers' comp, insurance, benefits, retirement, vacation. I mean, we definitely should be able to see some of the benefits of that in our settlements. It's certainly my hope, and I'm sure everyone else's hopes.
Okay, so I want to unpack a few of those. So the first one is first overnight. And I guess backing up a little bit, one of the key differences between Express and Ground is that to get from one part of the country to another, Ground, everything's being loaded into a trailer and driven using a Class 8 over-the-road truck. You know, they're doing drop and hook to get, you know, big loads of packages from one terminal or one hub to the next terminal. Whereas Express, you know, it's all about speed, and FedEx actually owns a fleet of airplanes that all of those go on to. So that's a key difference right there. But once the plane lands, the first overnight, they have a strict 8 or 8:30 time commit. So the drivers of those vans for Express for the first overnight they don't even go to a package sorting facility. They're going straight to the airplane. They're like right there on the tarmac, unloading the plane and loading their van. Is that how it works?
Yeah. Typically what they do is they go to their terminal first, wherever it may be, and they get a van and they drive to the airport. And then the airport has a separate sorting facility that those packages come straight off the air. They come in a can, as I said before, they roll them to the rollers. And then they, each station in that geographical area, for example, Charlotte, you know, Charlotte, they, from Charlotte, they service like all the way to Greensboro and all the way to, you know, way out in South Carolina to way up in North Carolina. I mean, just a lot of areas. So a lot of different stations send drivers there. The drivers go and, you know, those drivers may only get, they may only have three stops. They go do three stops and go back to the building and either they're done or they'll do some, what they call P1 overflow, which is, you know, helping out in an area to cover that. Some, all they do is that, what I just said, they come in, work 3 or 4 hours. And like I said, most of the 8 or 8:30 commits, like the 8 commits are like stuff really near the airport, like downtown Charlotte, for example, or the east side of Gastonia or Belmont, which is really close to that. But as you get further from the airport, you know, it moves to 8:30. And then on further areas out in the country, it may be a 10 o'clock commit for first overnight versus 8 o'clock. So it gives you time to get there. It's a really high margin product that they offer with that. So it's very expensive to ship them. So not a whole lot of people ship them. But when they do ship them, you know, it just allows an extra service that, I mean, the majority of those packages are going like downtown or to business offices or something that are waiting and it has to be there and they don't mind paying. I mean, a letter may cost you $100 to send a letter. So, you know, it's something that I don't know, you know, nobody really knows right now the plan for all of this freight. We all assume, and I think FedEx has alluded to the fact that they're going to use ISPs to do this versus putting it to Express. And I really don't see how that could happen, putting it to Express anyway. It'd just be too much, I think, to handle. And, we can handle it with very, very little problems in my mind.
So that's first overnight. And then the next one is priority. So first overnight is an 8 o'clock or 8:30 time commit. Priority is a 10:30 a.m. time commit. So now those drivers of those vans, they're not going to the airport, right? So somebody is loading those envelopes and packages onto a vehicle and driving it to an actual FedEx Express facility, or are those also being dispatched from the airport terminal as well?
No, when the packages come off the airplane, they're in cans. And some of them are just, the airports actually do a sort themselves. They have some freight that is trucked to the airport. Some come in on planes. The majority comes in on planes. They do their mini sort and they pack the cans onto an 18 wheeler. It has rollers in the 18 wheeler. The can, each 18 wheeler goes to the FedEx facility, wherever that may be, you know, normally 30 minutes to an hour away. So once that truck gets to where it's going, it may get to a location about 7 o'clock. Doc puts in, they roll the containers off the truck and they do their mini sort. Well, they actually do their whole sort. That's all of their packages for the day. Their P1s, their standard overnight, their economy service. That sort lasts anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour and a half, depending on how big the station is. And the way it works, the couriers are kind of, they have their trucks backed up. The freight comes down the middle of the belt, you know, it gets a scan, shows the ride, the facility, the route number of the route taking the package goes on it. And as it goes down the belt, you know, whoever has that route, they pull that freight off, put it on their truck, they van scan it. And at the end of the sort, they take all their packages. It's on the van. They take off and start delivering them. And their packages are actually lined up. They'll have a number like 1 to 80. So that's how they load their trucks on the shelves. Obviously, 1 being first, 2, 3, 4, 5, so on and so forth. So makes it very easy. Not really, in my mind, it never was and never will be very efficient the way they do it. But it is what it is. So I think they're starting to see that they don't need all that, and it makes a whole lot more sense to move it to us like I said, what we can handle. And the 1030 commits, I mean, the majority of time it's hospitals, doctor's offices, lawyers, and your businesses, you know, meals and things like that, production facilities, where most of those are in the city, you know, where we have three or four trucks, and it's going to be very easy to accommodate that service.
So, Chad, you sound real confident. I mean, you sound real confident that none of this is really going to be an issue to try to integrate into a ground operation. You know, so we're talking about time commits is really like the biggest difference. And then also that the drivers load their own vans. I guess it's to be determined whether, you know, the ground drivers would be required to load their own vans or not. But, you know, the time commits really seems like the biggest difference for express versus ground. If you're a driver, if you're out there responsible for delivering packages every day, you've got an 8:30 time commit, a 10:30 time commit, 12 or 1 o'clock, and then a 4 o'clock, you know, and then regular pickups kind of scattered throughout, which ground drivers are already doing. So Chad, tell us a little bit more. You know, I'm trying to picture if you've got a CSA, call it 20 ground vans, you know, and trucks that you've got out delivering in a given CSA, how many express vans are responsible for that same geographic territory? I mean, what's the ratio? Is it 20 ground vans to 10 express vans or 20 ground vans to?
I would say it's closer. I would say if you've got 20 ground trucks, you're probably looking at no more than 7 express trucks. And I would say 3 to 4 to 1, depending on where you're at, I would say. And the beauty of that is, like I said, those trucks only have 80 to 90 stops for the most part. They may run one or two heavy routes. And when I say heavy routes, like most hospitals, they get a tremendous amount of FedEx Express. They may do 100, 150 boxes to the hospital, but the same ground route may have 200 boxes already. So instead of 200 boxes, we may bump up to 300 boxes. And typically we're getting there very early anyway. So that will not be much of an issue. I don't see it being an issue at all. I think the one concern and the biggest concern that I have or would have, as we start these time commits, we will have to have more of a drop dead dispatch time at all of our facilities. You know, now we may dispatch 8 one day, 8:30 one day, and it may even go up to 9 or 9:30 on bad days. You know, when we take over this time commit, you know, we will have to say, okay, 8 o'clock dispatch time, we're leaving. You know, we have to have that ability to do that. Because one thing that does happen as most of the freight either goes to Memphis on a plane or it goes to Indianapolis on a plane. That's their two main sorting facilities at FedEx. And, you know, during the winter, sometimes obviously with bad weather, those planes do get delayed. So when they come in late, you know, if they're supposed to be in Charlotte, say, for example, at 5 o'clock and they don't get to Charlotte till 8 o'clock, well, all that freight still has to be serviced. So, you know, I can see that being an issue where, you know, it may come in late and you have to wait on it. I mean, in some circumstances, FedEx Express, it's got to be really, really bad circumstances, but they will roll that freight till the next day. I mean, I'm talking if the freight doesn't get there to like 11 or 12 o'clock for whatever reason, you know, they call it act of God, you know, weather related. So, you know, that does happen and that would frustrate a lot of drivers. So obviously that would, it would take a level of contingency that we don't have right now to either run a second wave on certain things like that or hold some people back, send some people. But, you know, that's a bridge we'll cross when we get there. But just for the overall day-to-day operations, I think it's all a major plus for us. And I know a lot of people get scared about it. But, you know, as ISPs, we adapt to change, to all the changes that we come our way, and I feel like the good ISPs will be able to be a positive change for them.
So, Chad, you were talking about very strict dispatch times. You know, obviously, if you have an 8:30 time commit, you've got to have the ability to say, hey, no matter what, at 8 o'clock, that van's driving away. It's got to make those 8:30 time commits. I've had a lot of other service providers tell me that, you know, one of the biggest challenges they have in terms of their morning dispatch time, whether they get out at 8 in the morning or 8:30 or 9:30 in the morning, that a lot of it is out of their hands because on the ground side, the packages come in overnight and, you know, it's different in every area, but call it, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning. There's package handlers who are not employed by the contractor. They're employed by FedEx Ground. They work at the facility. and they sort all the packages and load the trucks. So, you know, and there, that's where some of the issues are, right? The driver shows up in the morning. Is their truck done being loaded? Is it loaded correctly, you know, in a way that's going to make it easy for them to go about their route? Or is it still being loaded, or are things a total mess that require the driver to move things around? How do you see that impacting, you know, the ability to make very strict time commits, particularly in the morning for a ground operation?
Well, keep in mind the 8:30 commits are, that's the first overnight. So we wouldn't be handling that from the station load. What I would assume will work is, you know, the, instead of the packages going to the FedEx Express terminal on the truck, they'll move into the ground sorting facility where our sort takes place now. And those packages will probably come down last. That'll be the last thing they do. And they'll be sorted the same way. They'll come down the belt. The package handlers will put it to the truck it goes to, and then the drivers will get in and go. But I mean, we all recognize as ISPs, we know what we deal with FedEx loads. I mean, most of them are not very good. I mean, if they get them in the right section, we're happy. Very rarely will they be loaded perfectly, where you go from 1,000 to 1,005, 1,010 or whatever. I mean, if we can just get the thousands in the thousand section and 2,000 and 2,000, 8,000 and 8,000, I think we're very happy. So that's our main concern. And most of your drivers, your really good drivers, you know, they know, so they come in early, a little bit early anyway, and just go through their truck and make sure there's no misloads or, you know, stuff. Because the last thing they want to do is go out and be looking, you know, first stop, you know, 1,015 SID number, and it's sitting in the 7,000 section, and they waste 20 minutes looking for it. So most of your good drivers realize that. They'll come in, and like I said, the priority stuff, most of that priority stuff, the 10, 1030s, is going to be letters or small freight that you can just throw right into section where it goes and not miss a beat, in my opinion.
So, Chad, let's say hypothetically, let's say in one of your CSAs that all of the express volume gets rerouted and you're now responsible for delivering it, your team. Let's just keep the numbers easy. Let's say you've got 10 ground trucks there, and you said it's, you know, 3-1, 4-1 in terms of the number of ground trucks that service a particular area compared to express. So if you've got 10 ground trucks, let's call it, you know, there might be 3 express vans currently there. Well, those 3 express vans go away on the express side, and they want you to deliver those packages. Are you confident that you would just take the packages and spread them amongst your 10 existing trucks? Or would you feel like you would need to add one vehicle or all 3 vehicles?
No, I don't think it would be an amount of freight that would require any more additional trucks. It would help. But keep in mind that freight, 90% of their vehicles are Sprinter vans. You know what I mean? They're fitting in a Sprinter van, and those Sprinter vans are nowhere close to being full like our trucks are. So, I mean, you talk about 20 or 30 packages, small packages going on a P1000 or P1200. It would be very insignificant to us for the massive amount of benefit that the company and hopefully us will receive. That's how I look at it.
Now, Chad, one concern that a lot of other people have voiced is that, you know, what if not as a whole, but what if in certain areas FedEx decides to do away with the ground service provider model and instead reroute everything to the express model? Now, a lot of people, you know, immediately just laugh at that and say it would never happen because, you know, the ground contractor model is a low cost model, which should result in more profit for FedEx. But that has not proven to be the case over the years. I mean, UPS has, everyone reads about how much UPS drivers make. I mean, they're unionized while the FedEx ground drivers are not. And you would think that that would mean that UPS would be nowhere near as profitable as FedEx, but it's the opposite. UPS is way more profitable, you know, historically, you know, than FedEx on average. And, you know, so some people ask, well, if the UPS model where they own all the trucks and they employ all the drivers and they maintain control over everything, if that is a more efficient way or more profitable way to operate, I should say, you know, might ground do that? Again, if not widespread, market by market. I mean, do you have any intuition as to whether FedEx might eliminate the ground model, you know, contractor model in certain areas and go with Express?
Well, certainly, you know, I've thought about that. Like I said, nobody's come out and said that. And that's kind of the, you know, the fear, as nobody has said that that wouldn't go that way. You know, my thoughts on why it wouldn't. Obviously, number one, you're talking about, you know, a lot of, not that they couldn't do it, but you're talking about hundreds of thousands of trucks that they would have to buy. I mean, you can't do it in the trucks they're in. Now, it may make sense if I'm not in any terminals that are, you know, like I imagine North Dakota, South Dakota, you probably, I don't know how spread out they are, places like that. All the terminals I'm in are, you know, have big cities around, and it wouldn't make any sense at all to go the express route versus, I guess my most spread out operation is probably in Asheville, North Carolina. I don't know if you know where that is, but where the Biltmore House is. And it's a lot of mountainous areas. It's pretty spread out. Most of my trucks can only do 70 or 80 stops up there, but still we have to have either cutaways or P700s. Because the amount of incompatibles, the IC freights that we get will not fit on a van. So you would still have to have multiple trucks going into the same slot. And, you know, you spoke on UPS being a whole lot more profitable. They're profitable, more profitable now than we are, because obviously we're running double the work. I mean, we're running two trucks in every neighborhood, and we're wasting a tremendous amount of money on the FedEx Express side that just does not. I mean, there's no need for it. We can, like I said, we can easily handle it. You know, they run 6 days a week. Their plane comes in on Monday, on Sunday, which I don't know why we're already not taking the Monday freight, because, like I said, the plane comes in on Sunday night. We could easily have it for our sort Monday, which is a low freight day for us anyway, because we're running Sunday. And then Saturday, you know, their routes become even more spread out on Saturday, and our routes, we could definitely do more on Saturday than what we do, because we're all. But the biggest thing is we're already going there. And if I'm going to your house, I'm going to the house beside you. So we become more efficient, cost FedEx very little money, but their savings is incredibly big. If we do this change and they do it right, there's no way possible UPS could offer the rates that we offer, because we should be that much more efficient and streamlined. And you're right, we're not paying $40 to $50 an hour with full benefits and retirement plan and pension and workers' comp and all that. FedEx would just be paying us, and it's up to us. We have to stay competitive with UPS. You know, we'll never be able to pay $40 or $50 an hour, but we can pay a really good wage and offer flexibility that UPS can't. You know, not everybody wants to work, you know, 9 to 7 every day and, you know, basically not have a life outside of there. And, you know, we don't typically micromanage like UPS does. I mean, UPS is a tight run company that they do micromanage every minute of their employees' days. And I think any employee would tell you that, where we can offer, you know, we can offer a good day's wage with benefits and flexibility. And if we can get to that point where we can pay drivers a good wage and retain them and create some careers for them, then that's where we need to be as ISPs, to be able to not have as much turnover and not have as much, you know, just having to get what you can get. We have to get to the level where we can pay people and have a level of accountability if they're not doing what we need them to do. Because ultimately, the big push right now is for customer service. You know, our drivers to be in uniform, to walk in, be able to carry on a conversation with a shipper, especially when we start going into businesses, lawyers' offices. I mean, we need to play the part, you know, be professional, be able to carry on a conversation and say yes, sir, and no, sir, to people when we walk in.
Yeah. And how do you feel about that? I mean, that's one of the differences between, you know, FedEx Express and UPS, kind of lumping those in together, versus FedEx Ground. You know, I've always heard, you know, hey, if the package or envelope you've got is small and you need to get it there quickly and you need to get it there professionally, then you go with Express. If the package is just kind of big and heavy and you don't need to get it there particularly quickly, give it to the Ground team. But there's this professionalism difference also, which you had just alluded to, which is, you know, a lot of FedEx Ground trucks, they don't even bother putting the decals, the logos on the side. I don't know why, because you get, you know, the terminal installs them for you and you get paid. But I still see in my hometown here in Bend, Oregon, you know, one of the service providers here, they don't have logos on their step vans driving around town. But you can see the DOT number listed on the side. You know, there's uniforms, there's different uniform requirements. And I think the kind of the impression is that, you know, you get a Ground driver and they're not going to walk into an attorney's office with the same level of polish and professionalism that someone on the Express side or with UPS might, you know. And actually our building here, so, you know, the Routing for Success podcast is by AP Equipment Financing. That's the company I work for. We've got an office building here in Bend, Oregon. The UPS driver, I know who that guy is. It's been the same guy for years. And he actually has an electronic key to get into our building. So we don't have to buzz him in. He doesn't have to knock. He filled out a background check form. You know, we have very high standards as to who's allowed to just key into our building at any time of day. And he's one of them. You know, where's the FedEx Ground guy was like, no way. You're not doing a background check. I'm just going to stand there and bang on the door. Chad, so anyway, what are your, I mean, how do you feel like you would handle those differences? I mean, are you talking about hiring, up-leveling your hiring, and you need to get obviously paid more, well, hopefully, to do that, or is this a training issue?
Yeah, that's a complex question, but it needs an honest answer. And the honest answer is we have to be able to pay a better rate to our employees. I mean, that boils down to it. I mean, like anything else, supply and demand, you know, people that the quality of person that you hire has to be able to meet the standard that you set, right? I mean, if you can't get somebody to put on a uniform, then what makes you think you're going to get them to not pull in somebody's yard or driveway? I mean, it starts at the very basic stuff. We have to be able to afford to pay a quality wage to retain good drivers and to attract new drivers. And that is where I hope that this change will allow FedEx to pay us where we need to be paid, to share that with our drivers and create careers for our drivers versus so much turnover that so many people have right now. And the problem with that, you know, some ISPs they feel like they're forced to just basically take what they can get in the employment pool. I mean, sometimes, you know, you have to go through the background check that FedEx puts everyone through. So you have to pass that, number one. Well, number two, you know, you don't want to just take anybody that says, okay, I can do this. You have to be able to set standards. You have to be able to, like I said, first, the most important thing is to wear a uniform. Secondly, to drive a big P1200 truck in a safe manner, right? And stay out of yards, stay out of driveways, and do the right things. And then third, to be able to carry on a relationship with a customer in a business, whether it be a lawyer's office or a shipping receiving clerk. Because a lot of times, you know, the shipping receiving clerks, they have the authority to see if do they want to ship UPS, or they want to ship FedEx. And, you know, they're going to go with who they like. So it's very important for couriers not to walk in and they see a whole big, you know, 200 boxes on a pallet and get mad, you know, because they got to pick all that up. So they got to realize, you know, that's their job. That's what allows them to get a raise. But at the same time, as ISPs, we have to be able to have enough settlement from FedEx to be able to pay the people what they need to pay to create those high quality drivers that present the image that FedEx wants us to present. You know, we need to be riding around. I mean, FedEx has always been kind of the Cadillac of the delivery service. You know, FedEx Express, that being, they've been the Cadillacs. I mean, most of those, you know, they're riding in Mercedes vans out there. So, but we have to have that same level of professionalism. And that's went down in Express over the years too, I might add. I mean, they don't have the level of employees they used to have, but we have to be able to present the 100% customer service that our employees create relationships with people like you in the business and say, hey, you know, here's your package. How's your day? Thank you for shipping, whatever. And hopefully get some packages from y'all versus coming in there in a tank top and you know, a hat on backwards and flip flops or Crocs and asking for a signature. You know, I mean, that's kind of one of my pet peeves. I go all over the Southeast to terminals, and when I pull in, I still see people leaving the terminal in tank tops or, you know, Yankee hats or whatever, and it drives me crazy. You know, I want to see, I think that's the key to us being able to make this whole transition, is for ISPs to hold your drivers accountable to do the right things. And, you know, we can say, hey, we don't have enough money to do that, but you have enough money to make sure they're doing the basic things like being in a uniform and following your driving directions. And if they're not, we have to eliminate them. And sometimes it's not as easy as I'm trying to make it sound to be, because I know it's not. You have to replace people, and it takes a while to replace people. But end of the day, you either replace them by your choice or they're going to leave you hanging if it's not the quality of person that you need. So we just need to be able to hire that high quality individual like UPS does. And the level of accountability needs to be there. We have to be able to, if I tell a driver to stay out of a driveway and I see that he goes in a driveway day after day, nothing's going to get done. You know, I have to be able to say, okay, one more time, you're done, and then be done. So, you know, that part of it is going to be, I think as contractors, we can get the job done that we need to get done. We can hire the people that need to represent the brand that is professional, that is first class when they walk into a building, that, you know, wants pickups, that needs pickups, and that appreciates pickups. But we have to be able to pay them. And I think so it's going to be a give and take from us and FedEx to be able to get to that point versus where we're at right now. I mean, right now, we are, as ISPs, still facing a lot of inflation that we've dealt with the last 2 years. And, you know, we have to make do with the settlement that FedEx gives us. We don't have the luxury to say, okay, we're going up on our prices. We get what FedEx gives us, and we have to manage our money to have some left at the end of the week versus going in the hole. I mean, who's going to do what we do to lose money, right? So we can only pay what we can pay. And that's the, you know, at the end of the day, really the only controllable expense that we can control is our labor. I mean, if you control your labor, then you control your gas somewhat. You know, you control your maintenance, you're sending less trucks. But really that labor is the one thing that we have to pay it. I mean, your maintenance is what it is. Your gas is what it is for the most part, your insurance. So labor, and if we can't pay people what they need to be paid, then we have to get the bottom of the barrel sometimes. And I think that's what happens with some contractors. Instead of they get frustrated and they just hire whoever they can get without going through much of a training, without putting people through the correct training to show it's not just about getting the package to the customer. It's about doing it in a way that represents the brand, because the brand is what's going to allow us to grow.
Chad, I appreciate you coming back onto the podcast. Is there anything else that you feel like is relevant to the conversation here?
No, I mean, I just would say to the ISPs out there, be looking forward to the change and be open-minded to it versus scared of it. And, you know, try your best to be positive about the change, because I do believe it'll be changed. I think if we can save FedEx, the company, a lot of money by getting rid of that division, it enables them to pay us more. And, you know, I think that's our best option to get paid more, where we can pay people more, we possibly can make a little more, and the brand can grow. There's, like I said before, there's no way possible if we get this thing running right that UPS can compete with our prices. They shouldn't be able to compete with our prices, because, I mean, they're paying an exorbitant amount of wages that, you know, we don't have to pay. Like I said, we don't have to pay that. We just have to be able to pay a decent wage. And if we can get there, I think it's going to be a win-win for everybody versus the change. I mean, the last thing we want to happen as ISPs is for FedEx to say, you know, I'm tired of dealing with all these whiny contractors. Let's just hire buy 100,000 trucks and hire people and go unionized and do our own thing. I mean, that's what would happen if they did it the other way. Obviously, the union would get in there just as quick as they did UPS. and they would be facing the same thing. I think it could, you know, it's set up to be a win-win for everybody. If we can just get, you know, the decision makers on board to do the right thing, then I think we'll all be in a great place.
Chad, thank you for coming back onto the podcast. It's good to see you.
Oh, yes, sir. Enjoyed it. I've been listening to all of them. Enjoy yours as well.
Routing for Success is brought to you by AP Equipment Financing. In today's competitive market, it is essential to acquire the right trucks at a fair price and finance them in a way that makes sense for your business. Leveraging their extensive network of truck and van suppliers, the experts at AP Equipment Financing will help you locate the best deals on step vans, cutaways, panel vans, and more. Deliver them straight to your facility and finance them with low monthly installment options. Click the link in the description or visit apfinancing.com for more information. Routing for Success is an independent production of AP Equipment Financing and is in no way affiliated with or endorsed by FedEx Corporation, FedEx Ground, Amazon, or any other logistics company discussed herein. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Routing for Success.